We are going to be in Matthew 28 today and in Genesis 3 as well. So if you're taking notes or if you have your Bible with you, you can go ahead and look those up. And
yes, we're going to be in Matthew 28 today and looking at the women who came to the tomb and some of the things that happened there.
Women played an important role in that. Implies a lot and gives a lot of knowledge for us if we start to look at that.
Yes. I personally believe that what we're going to read today is linked to some things that happened right at the dawn of civilization. It was a fulfillment. It's powerful. It's encouraging, particularly as it pertains to the voice of women. Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit more after we read the scripture, but and say some hellos. Hello, Royal. Good morning to you, sister. Hey, Mike and Vicki, blessings.
Vicki had a birthday yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Yes. Happy birthday, Vicki. Hope it was a good day.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's jump into the words. Some post-resurrection truths, Matthew 28, and here's the story.
Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, but he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring the disciples word. What an occasion.
Yes. I want us to drop back for a few moments, all the way back to the book of Genesis. God created Adam and Eve. He created the man first, then out of his side, he took the rib, and out of that created the woman. Both the man and the woman had their own encounter with God before they ever had encounter with one another. And as we often teach this, that's Christian marriage. A man who's met God is brought together by God with a woman who has met God already. And that marriage is blessed. So it's a beautiful picture there. But not very deep into the book of Genesis, we have the occasion when the serpent beguiles Eve. In other words, he decides that he will seductively deceive and beguile Eve by using her voice to bring the man into agreement to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which they were forbidden to eat. Mm-hmm. And of course, after this time in human history, you begin to see men having suspicion toward the voice of women. Men, again, part of this is rooted in the curse because of the curse of sin. And the part of the curse was your desire will be to your husband. And that can be very perverted and polluted. But the truth is, when God originally made the first man and woman, they were both given dominion. They were to partner side by side under the regency of God. And what happened at the fall is there was a distancing between the man and the woman. Mm-hmm. Remember that Adam pointed, she caused that to happen to me. And in Genesis 3:13, the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So you see the buck being passed all the way to the serpent. Then God speaks to the serpent. And it's interesting what he says.
So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel.
Now, when we look in the totality of Scripture, Jesus, the Bible clearly teaches us in our new covenant that he became accursed to deliver us from the power of the curse. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father until the restoration of all things. It says in the book of Acts chapter 3, you can read 17 following there. It says, which were prophesied by the holy prophets since the world began, all the way back to the dawn of time. Here's a prophetic word where God says to the serpent, I'm going to use a woman to bring forth a seed, and he's going to crush your head. You'll bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. So God, you can imagine Eve after how she felt guilty. Her head was hanging. Her shoulders were stooping, I would imagine. And she's hearing Father God tell the serpent, I'm going to use this very a woman, just like this woman you see. This is going to be a woman I'm going to use that's going to birth the seed that's going to do you in. I'm going to use a woman to birth a seed to topple your empire, Satan. And so the one who did that was Jesus. He was the seed of the virgin. That was prophesied. He did that on the cross. He said, it is finished. When God raised him from the dead, the resurrection was God's amen to the redemptive death of Jesus on the cross. So the good news, when Jesus came out of that tomb, that's the beginning of the euangelion of the church, the good news of the church, the evangelistic message of the church, the gospel of the church. And who are the first messengers of the gospel? Who was chosen to be the first set of lungs that would declare it, the first lips that the gospel would cross after the resurrection would be who?
The women.
These women, these distant daughters of Eve. And I mean, there's no doubt about it. History records how there has been this misogynistic attitude of men toward women. She's the weaker sex. That may be true. The percentage of times when you're talking about physical strength. But God's original intention was side-by-side ministry, partnering together, both having dominion. Mm-hmm. The man was never created to exercise dominion and trample underfoot the woman. The woman was created to be his helper. And we often interpret that idea, well, a helper, someone's just kind of help. She'd do the work, but they just kind of help. But the same term is used for the Holy Spirit who has been sent to be our helper. And I don't think we want to minimize his role. So the woman and the man are the dynamic duo, male and female. There are two sexes there, male and female, operating in tandem with kingdom authority. So now Jesus is the bridegroom, the church. We all are the bride, and we are partnering with him in the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit to get this message to the world. And so this is, you know, I've written a whole book on this, A Woman Who God Says She Is, but it's about the restoration of the voice of women. And I believe when those women went and told those disciples, he's risen. When they released that, I believe there was such a seismic shift in the realm of the spirit of how things shifted. And, you know, in Christ, there's neither male nor female, bond nor free, and so forth. Jesus restored the voice of women. He restored all of us, you know, from sin, rescued us. But this idea, because the woman was first deceived and then the man, that has been a nemesis toward women throughout the centuries. But Jesus did more to elevate the status of women in culture than anyone has ever lived. And so that's, I would just thank God for all of you women and the power of your voice, the restoration that Jesus has secured, and be all that God created you to be. That doesn't mean we don't have different functions. We're different sexes. We have, you know, we're wired differently. We were built mm-hmm. differently. But before God, we are equal. We both can move in authority, have the same Holy Spirit. And I believe here, you know, it's interesting that the first, if you believe preaching the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, then these women were your first preachers of the gospel, first messengers of the gospel.
So it's a restoration of the voice of women and chosen by God. And this was his plan. He instigated this event. The women were there, but it was all set up by God, and mm-hmm. there's purpose in it.
Yes. And again, my theological lens is restoration. Again, that's so important. He's seated until the restoration of all things. So God's in the business of restoring. I believe the closer we get to the coming of Jesus Christ, the more restoration we're going to see throughout culture. That's like in the days the Bible was written, slavery was commonly practiced. That does not make it right. But if you study the abolitionists, most of them, the truth that they brought to bear in the abolitionist movement to end slavery here in our own nation, rooted and founded in the scripture, you know, whom Christ set free, they are free indeed. And yet in the early church, they may not have seen that as clearly. But again, as I'm not a believer in necessarily process theology at all. I'm not, or progressive revelation. I believe the gospel is once and for all settled, the faith delivered to the saints. But I do believe that the scripture we've been given, that, you know, we can see more clearly, we can see more deeply, and God wants us to apply that to our life in the cultures in which we live, the era of time in which we live. It's unchangeable, but its application should always be changing us.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And oftentimes we, you know, we're looking into the Word, and some years later we might be looking at the same passage and it might open up for us and dots connect and things that we didn't see previously, you know. And so that there's a lot in the Bible about women and God's idea, his plan, and what Satan has came to destroy, Jesus has come to restore.
Yeah, he came to destroy the works of the devil, and the destruction of the enemy's works means to the restoration of God's original intentions mm-hmm. for us. And so thank God when he said it is finished, it was enough, it is sufficient. And when we, you know, when the kingdom comes mm-hmm. In its fullness and the consummation of the ages, it's going to be like, wow, 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 wow. But even now there's restoration taking
yes.
place. Even now the kingdom is invading earth. Every place that Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning in a human heart, the kingdom is alive and well. And so, women, don't be browbeaten by men who think you're less. Realize you're very powerful. You are the daughter of Eve, yes, in the natural, but you're daughters of God in the supernatural, and Father God has kept his promise to Eve. And his promise to Eve was in the declaration to the enemy. I'm going to use a woman. She's going to have a seed and he's going to crush your head. That was issued in the hearing of the only woman on the earth at the time. And that's Eve. And so it's just such a powerful thought to me. The yes. restoration of all things includes the restoration of the worth, value, integrity of the voice of women.
Amen. Amen. Well, we hope you enjoyed this today, and if you want to know more, you can I know several of you have that book, and you get the book that Eddie mentioned, or...
Yeah, I've written it. I wrote this years ago.
But it has a lot of good truth inside it, and it, God was opening up a lot of revelation to us during that time. So it's powerful, and be blessed. Walk in the role that God has for you, and all that includes. Nothing short.
Amen. He's risen, He lives, and He loves you, and so do we.
We'll see you tomorrow morning at 10:30.